You may be seated. This has nothing to do with the sermon this morning, but how many of you remember the five questions from last week? One, who do you say I am? Two, do you believe? Three, do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed? Four, why are you afraid? And five, do you love me? Do you love me? This is really an interesting scripture here this morning. And we're going to talk about the church today. Maybe in a little different way than we've looked at it before. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. And now, Lord, as we go into your word, your word that is so powerful, your word that is so life-changing, your word that is like a sword, and it penetrates us and cuts out those things that are not right with us. That word is so strong, it can heal us. Father, we just pray now that we go to your word, that you would let your Holy Spirit that is among us and in us speak to us. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a very, very interesting scripture. And I tell you, Jesus says, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my what? Did you know that this is the first time in the New Testament that the word church is used? The very first time. And then Jesus says, and the what? Gates of hell. Not hell itself. He says the gates of hell will not overcome it. What does that mean? When it's talking about the gates of hell shall not overcome the church, what does that mean? What do gates do? We've got a gate at our house. We were having difficulties with our quarter of a mile driveway. People just wandering up trying to figure out what was going on back here. So we put a privacy gate up. You see, gates either keep things in or they keep things out. So what do you think the gates of hell are doing? They're keeping things what? In. And Jesus is saying, look, I've overcome hell, I've overcome death. The gates of hell couldn't hold me in. And because you are my people, filled with my spirit, who have my kind of power, the gates of hell will not overcome the church, and the church will never die. The gates of hell will not hold my people in. Woo! That's strong. Did you know you have that kind of power in you that the gates of hell cannot hold you in because we are born again believers filled with Jesus' spirit. We've got the same kind of power that he has, and the gates of hell cannot hold us in because Jesus has been victorious. You and I are victorious, and we are called the church. I love that word, church. Say that with me, church. Oh, you didn't. Penny, they got a problem this morning. Penny had a problem with people responding. Say it with me, church. Oh, that's a beautiful word. Church. Okay. How many of you watch, what's their names? Chip and Joanna. What's the name of their program? Raise your hand if you watch that. That's what I am. You know, I'm a fixer-upper. When Penny married me, she said, he's got some possibility. I think he can be fixed up. But fixer-upper, I like that program. You watch it, they go find this house. It doesn't look like much when they start with it. They gut it, they do all kinds of things, and then they fix it up. Penny did that to our home. We got an old log home. She went in, she gutted this thing. She removed the bathroom, she removed walls, she added bathrooms, she gutted the kitchen. I kept saying to her, baby, I don't see the vision. I thought we made the biggest mistake we've ever made. But Penny knew there was a foundation there to build upon. There was a foundation there to build upon. I want to talk about the church this morning. I want to talk about the church's foundation. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 10. And before we look at this scripture, I want to give you some background. Paul has gone to Corinth and he has preached the gospel, and there are now believers. there are Jews in Corinth, when Paul presented his case of how Jesus is the Messiah God, that they believed. And so from that, they developed a what? A what?
Church.
What?
Church.
Not all people. Are you asleep this morning? They developed a church. Now all of a sudden the church is having difficulties. The church is having some quarrels within it. And so what's going on with this church in Corinth? Some are saying, you know what? I'm following Paul. Paul got it right. Paul saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was blind and he was healed. He was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. And now he is a believer filled with God's Holy Spirit. He has presented the gospel to us. He's shown us in the Old Testament how these prophecies are true and how they've been fulfilled in Christ. And we believe it. We're following Paul. Well, you know, then they had this other guy named Apollos. He must have been a pretty good preacher. Maybe he told great stories. Maybe he did some really good, some good orations. And all of a sudden, they get the church saying, you know what? No. We're going to follow Apollos. Apollos has got it going on. You know, Paul's kind of outdated. He keeps telling us the same things over about how to be righteous in God. And Apollos is over here. Maybe he's doing some good things with really getting us revved up and revitalized. And we're going to follow Apollos. And so Paul says, wait a minute, you got a problem. Church, you got a problem. Who is the foundation of your church? Do you think it's me? Do you think it's Apollos? Did I die for you? Did Apollos shed his blood for you? No. The only foundation of the church is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah God. So let's look at this scripture this morning. Paul says, I planted the seed. Apollos, what did he do to it? He watered. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. And they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service.
You are God's people, God's children.
Keep going. There'll be another slide. By the grace God has given me, I laid a
foundation.
As a wise builder, and someone else is
building on it.
You see, the church was having a foundation problem in Corinth. Some were saying that Paul should be the foundation. Some were saying Apollos should be the foundation. And Paul says, wait a minute, you're not getting this. There's only one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah God. He is the foundation. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. You know, some are saying today that the church is out of touch. Did you know that? That the church is not relevant as it used to be. That times have changed and the church hasn't changed with it. I'm 62 years old. I have earned the right to speak my piece. Some may consider me an old man, but I'm here to tell you I'm young at heart. Today there are movements within the walls of the church. One such movement is called missionism. Missionism is all about serving people without presenting the gospel of Christ to them. We feed them, we help them, but we never tell them about Jesus. And Jesus is the one who can change the life. Called missionism. It's all about helping. It becomes the God of the church. It becomes the foundation of the church. And the gospel becomes something that is not brought up, for it may offend. The good news is all about that Jesus changes lives. He can take someone who is in the gutter and lift them up. He can take someone on drugs and make them clean. He can take an alcoholic and make them stop drinking. He can do all kinds of things because he is God and his power is limitless. We have to do more than just feed the community. We've got to tell the community about Jesus so God's Spirit can touch them and move them and change them and save them. For the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now look at what Paul says. But each one should build with what?
Care.
With what?
Care.
What kind of care? Ooh, the kind of care that says missionism. For no one can lay any
foundation
other than the one which is
Jesus Christ.
For if anyone builds on the foundation using what? Their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring what to it. Paul says there is only one foundation to the church, and that's Jesus. It's not works. It's not service. It's not mission. These are ministries, and they are an extension of the foundation, but they are not the foundation themselves. You know, there's another movement that's going on within the church these days. It's called progressivism. And in progressivism, the movement says that the church needs to keep up with the times. That the Bible was written, oh, listen to this. This is a great one. That the Bible was written by man like any other novel. And that salvation through Jesus is offensive, and we need to water it down so we can get people coming to the church. Now, Dakota thinks this is her church. And you know what? It is. I got to tell you, the Bible is offensive. It says, God loves you, but you're a sinner, you're not right with God, and if you don't do something about it, you're going to go through eternity separated from God. And that is why the Messiah God, as foretold in the Old Testament, clothed himself in humanity, bled, took on the sins of the world, died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and now gives you life. Progressivism says that's too serious. That's running people away from the church. So we need to water that message down. How can you water down a message when someone has died for you? And then the Bible says this, repent. Jesus said what?
Repent.
Why? Repent means to change your mind. Repent means to change your ways. Repent means to go in a different direction. Repent says, I was going this way, and now I've repented, and I'm going to go this way. That's what repent means. Repent says, you know, I was a non-believer in Jesus Christ, and now I've understood who he is, and I was going this way. Now I'm changing my way, and I'm going with Christ in his ways. That's what repent means. It means going in a different direction. It means I used to care nothing about the ways of God. Now my life means nothing but God. By the way, I have to tell you something. When you give your life to the Lord Jesus, you're giving your life to everything. Your marriage, he's Lord of your marriage. Your finances, he is Lord of your finances. Your relationship with friends, he's Lord of your relationship with friends. He's even Lord of what you do and your recreational stuff. He's Lord of everything. And because he's Lord of everything, he blesses everything. Oh, I wish we could get that. As far as the Bible being God's word, it is written, it was written by man. If it was, then it's full of errors. For man is not perfect. I want to show you what God's word says about how it was written. Look at 2 Peter. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's what?
Own interpretation.
Well, then how did it come about? For prophecy never had its origin in the what?
Human.
But prophets through humans.
Spoke from God.
Who did they speak from?
God.
as they were carried along by what?
The Holy Spirit.
His Holy Spirit was in the people who wrote God's word. God was speaking himself when every word was written in his Bible. It was not written by human understanding. It was not written like any other novel. This is God's word, and this word has got power in it. It can change lives. God's word says, be careful on how you build on the foundation. And there's only one foundation, and that is Jesus, that loved the church so much that he gave his life for it. I am 62 years old, and I'm a Jesus-believing, Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled pastor. I've seen Jesus take the worst of any person and make them holy. I've seen miracles. I've seen marriages that have been repaired. I've seen families that have been brought back together. And I've seen lives changed by the power of the foundation of the church, which is Jesus Christ. The church isn't out of touch with the world. The world or the church is out of touch with Jesus. Look at this. Look at 16. Don't you know that
you yourselves
are what?
God's temple.
Did you know that? Did you know that? You are God's temple. Why is that? And that what?
God's Spirit
dwells in your midst. God's Spirit dwells inside of you. You are the temple of God because God resides in you. For God's temple is sacred and
you together are that temple.
Wow, isn't that powerful? God's Spirit lives in each one of us. We are his temple. It's where he resides. It's where the foundation is. It's the DNA that you and I have together that calls us brothers and sisters in Christ. So who is the church? It's the people that are Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, and Holy Spirit-filled. That's why Jesus said, in that day, some are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, I don't know you. Why is that? Because they're not Jesus-believing, Holy Spirit-filled. That is the foundation of the church. We cannot change that message. We cannot go to missionism. We cannot go to progressivism. We've got to keep that foundation as Jesus, the Messiah, God, lived, died, bled, resurrected from the dead, and his Holy Spirit lives within us today. That is the church. We are the temple that God resides in. Look at Genesis 2:7. I love this scripture. Yahweh God formed man from the dust of the ground, and what did he do? Into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? You see, I believe that when we are born, God's Spirit is present within us. He breathes within us that Spirit of life. And then when we sin, God's Spirit departs from us because God cannot live where sin is present. But when we accept Christ and our sins are forgiven, we are washed by the blood of Jesus. God's Spirit can now take up residence in that body. And now we have God's Spirit in us, making us a child of God and making us a temple where he resides. Do you see that? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, look at this. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And what? Who's building on that foundation?
Which?
Who?
Us.
Who?
Us.
You and me. We are the ones now that are building on that foundation. When Paul wrote this, the church in Corinth was the one that's now building on the foundation that Paul and Apollos had laid. Now, the church is the one that's building on that foundation that Jesus is the Christ, that is shed blood. You find forgiveness of sins, that he died, he resurrected, his Spirit lives within you, and he is God in the flesh. Now that church was doing it. Now it's you and I that are to be doing that. It's you and it's us. Now get this. God is using you and me to grow his kingdom. God wants to live in each person he has created. He wants you and I to do the building. So here's what I want you to understand this morning. When you are talking to someone who is a non-Christian, to someone who does not believe, I want you to have in your mind, when you're talking to that individual, that God is wanting to live in that body. He is wanting to take up residence in that person. I want you to remember that. Now, you and I are misfits. Did you know that? We're misfits. Joe's a misfit. Ann's a misfit. Donna's a misfit. Bonnie's a misfit. Maggie's a misfit. Angela's a misfit. Claudia's a misfit. Phil Chapman. What can you say? He is the misfit of all misfits. Now, why would I say that we're misfits? You see, because we live in the world, but we're not worldly. We live among godless people, but we're godly. We live among people that have no spiritual awareness, but you and I are spiritual. We live in a world that denies Jesus as being the Christ, and we are Christians and Christ-like. We live in a world that says, I am first, but we put others first. We live in a world where there is violence, and we live in peace. We live in a world of hate, and we practice love. Do you see how we are a bunch of misfits? And through our misfit lives, God wants us to grow his kingdom. God wants us to use our misfit lives to spread the gospel. Yes, we are supposed to feed. Yes, we are supposed to help. Yes, we are supposed to lend a hand. But we are to preach the gospel at the same time that we are doing that. The church is not out of touch with the world. The church is out of touch with Jesus. And God wants to use us so he can dwell in the lives of the people that he has created. You know, we have to have an outreach. And this church is not serving our community in the way that it should. And we're gonna talk about that in our vision sessions that we've got going on. But we cannot serve without giving someone the opportunity to hear the gospel. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much and thank you for your love. Wow, you love us so much. You can't even put it in words. You have blessed us in such a great way, Lord, that you've paid the debt down or off on this church that we are debt free. Now we've got funds that we can look at doing special ministries and doing things for our children and for our seniors and for the community. And oh, Lord, you have blessed us in such a great way. May we be true to your calling. May we understand that we are a temple that you live in. May we understand that we're a bunch of misfits in this world that you want to use to attract others to you. May we be true to your calling. It's not the career that we have. That makes no difference. What makes it important is that if we're using that career to reach others. It's not what we do, it's how we do it in reaching others. It's not how much money we have, it's how generous we are in reaching others. Oh, Lord, life is all about you. Remind us that that is the foundation that our life is built on. And in so doing, we find true joy. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, the Messiah God, the one who has changed us and whose spirit lives within us. Amen. Won't you stand?